Hi guys, it's Woodsy from Ben and Woods. In this edition of Great Moments in Marver, at Change the Padres tweeted on April 8th, 2021, "Golf is a physical test, not a sport. A sport requires direct interaction between competitors, not just comparing the results of an individual athletic event." Thanks for joining us on Great Moments in Marver. Don't forget to catch me on SportsMe. If you're tired of the uncivilized discussions on Twitter and you're ready to take a side on the issues in a hot new forum for debate, SportsMe is exactly what you're looking for. Fate up against a windmill, through the thick and thin, he will wait on tail. You give yourself to him.
Welcome everybody to another edition of the Gwintelligence Podcast. I am Harold James Preller, joined today by Corey Stewart.
Hello, Harold James. How are you?
Oh, hello, Corey. It's a pleasure to have you here at HJ Manor, the outdoor studio.
It is beautiful here.
Yeah. I thought of this clever bit where we could record while we're in a hot tub.
Oh.
Do you think that would be a good bit?
That seems a little weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Not something I'm interested in.
It seems gimmicky.
Yeah, and we're not about the gimmicks here at Gwintelligence. You know, another thing, you know, speaking of other podcasts that we're not into, is accepting free tickets in exchange for a positive commentary on Twitter, like some other podcasts that I'm familiar with.
It is hurtful to see that.
You know, it's nice to know that we here at Gwintelligence are the one podcast that cannot be bought off.
That's true.
You haven't accepted anything, have you?
I have not.
Okay.
But I haven't been offered, so.
Neither have I, and I, of course, would say yes if I were offered something. But as long as we have not been offered something, we can still maintain our air of superiority over.
I thought you had been offered something, like, way back in the day.
I have turned down dugout club seats.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And actually, this actually reminds me that Marver did accept some favoritism from dearly departed Wayne Partello at one time. But.
Oh. Hmm. I haven't even got anything from Wayne Partello, and you know how close we are.
Yes, you guys are besties.
We're besties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, do you think it's weird that everything is so much better and everything's running smooth and there's been no giant gaffes and no embarrassing incidents for the Padres since Wayne Partello left? And seemingly everyone is super positive about everything and has no complaints about anything of merit.
Everyone is super positive about everything?
There were people, you know, there was like concession complaints, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Nothing embarrassing.
No.
Nothing that went national, like happened 14 times under Wayne.
That's true. It's early, though.
It's early,
yeah. It's early.
Yeah, but in Wayne's first year, there was like 10 different things in the first year.
The Grubner era.
Yeah. So the All-Star break's about to end. I didn't realize that they added this extra day on the All-Star break, so we get another day of no baseball.
They could go another week as far as I'm concerned. I needed the break. I think we all needed the break.
So, I didn't need the break.
You didn't?
What do I watch on TV?
Well, that's true. That's true. I'm rewatching The Sopranos, actually. That's what I started doing. And it's perfect.
I'll pass on that.
Wow. How dare you?
I never got into The Sopranos.
Really?
It's fine.
Did you start it?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Okay. I see how you are.
Our beloved Padres are currently 53-40. They're on pace to win 92 games this year. When I read Twitter, if I listen to Ben and Woods, it sounds like they're on pace to win 120 games. And if I listen to Twitter, it sounds like they're on pace to win 73 games. The truth appears to be somewhere in the middle, but I'm curious, like if we were to take your temperature on the Padres, rectally,
please,
where, you know, it's the most accurate measure. There's not really a reason to mess around with a temporal.
We're all about accuracy here at Gwintelligence.
Yeah. Everyone knows those forehead thermometers aren't very accurate.
No.
Where are you? Like, what are you feeling right now?
I went to the game, the Nationals game that where the Grand Slam happened. Okay. And I actually stayed through that through that game, even though I was very, very close to leaving.
Did you spike your hat when you hit the Grand Slam?
I did not spike my hat. I lost everybody around, because I was with Chris Garcia, Sports Brain, and his girlfriend, and we were. I just really went to go find them just to say hi to them real quick, because I was leaving. I was done, because it was 8-0 or whatever. And the night before, we got the shit kicked out of us, and I was in the worst mood about them. And so they came up at the top of their section or whatever, And so we watched it up there. So we saw the Tatis home run, and then Scherzer fall apart, then the grand slam, and I mean, everybody was just, it was just bedlam up there. People were losing their minds. There were bears like flying. It was incredible. So after that game, I felt really good because it's a really that's a special game, and you need those, a lot of those, in a successful season, it seems like. And that seemed like one of those games that you look back on and that the Fox broadcasters talk about during a World Series game or whatever. And then Friday came. And that's where I just started just going downhill on them. And it was the Pomeranz injury was, and nobody really seems to be talking about it. It's a big deal.
He's like, arguably our best reliever.
Yeah, and he's pitched, I think 17 innings is what we've gotten out of him this year. And he had just got off of the injured list.
Mm-hmm. Long stint on the injured list.
A long stint, and he finally comes back. I think he came back the day that Pierce Johnson came back. And I was really excited about having those two guys come back. That really solidifies your bullpen big time. And we know what this bullpen's been through. And they've been terrific. I mean, you can't complain about them. Mm-hmm. But when those guys came back, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was so happy about it. Thinking Tingler must just be thrilled. And then he goes right back on it. And it was like, that was just kind of devastating. But they won that game. And then the wheels just, they just fell off. You're playing the Rockies, who are good at home and absolutely terrible on the road, like historically bad on the road. And you can't score a run on them. You have Marquez and Gray look like DeGrom against you. They scored one run over the span of 19 innings, and that was on a grounded into a double play from their backup catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Tatis didn't have a hit. It was a mess. They really just stumbled into the All-Star break, and now they're six back. And it just killed me.
And it plays off of something I keep hearing, which is every possible excuse to defend whatever's gone wrong for the Padres. You keep hearing, when we lost to the Brewers, we had to go against their best pitchers. Like, just not fair. I'm sure there were people that were like against the Rockies. They had to go against Gray and whoever. They don't really have anyone good on their team. Yeah, but like, and then the other excuse is, well, their schedule is so difficult. But it kind of devalues that defense when we do have these games against bad teams like the Rockies and they perform pretty poorly against them.
Yeah, definitely. And trust me, I really buy into the schedule thing, because they played, I think it was 93 games before the All-Star break, which was more than any other team in baseball. They had, you know, almost no off days, it felt like. And when you suffer the type of injuries that they had to your starting pitchers and, you know, just across the board. I mean, Austin Nola's played, what, two games?
Right? Yeah.
Jesus, it feels like. So I get that. And I get the positivity about the second half and that you're going to play a lot fewer games. You're playing shittier teams, all that. I get that. And that's a good thing. But
I don't think it's a silver bullet, you know, to that everything's going to be better and they're going to turn into a 100-win team because they're playing the Marlins more, you know, in the second half.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that was particularly crushing, and it didn't happen in the Rocky series, but the fact that Darvish then got injured, was removed from the All-Star team as a result. Do we even know what's wrong with him?
They said hip? And something else,
but he's not on the IL, right?
No, I thought they did put him on the IL
because Weathers never got put on the IL.
But he definitely will,
probably.
Yeah, and by the way, the Weathers thing. Do you believe that? Because I think that they're saying that he's going to be back the beginning of August or something like that.
I have my doubts.
I don't buy it at all.
Yeah,
it feels like the Nola thing, because I think Nola got hurt it was like the end of May, I think, is when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was like, oh, you know, it's going to be like 10 days or something like that.
And now he's not even catching. Yeah. Like, he's in a rehab assignment, and they're playing him at first base, which is obviously fantastic news because that means less time for Eric Hosmer. But
hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it might just be because Camposano's there, and they want him to have all those innings behind the plate, and they are just trying to baby Nola. I don't know. But the Nola thing, it just kept dragging out. And it was like, okay, well, you know, before the All-Star break. And then, oh, no, it's looking like going to be out. And obviously he's playing rehab games, so he will be back. But that doesn't bode confidence in, you know, as far as this weather's news.
Right.
And when he's got a plant on that foot, right?
I mean, let's be honest, though. Weathers hasn't really been all that effective as a starter. He's been fine.
But we're desperate, though. We don't have anything.
I know. We desperately need arms.
We need arms, especially starters.
I'm guessing plays into a larger feeling on your part on where you feel the team is right now. Because right now, our rotation consists of what? Musgrove, Snell, maybe, who's kind of hurt, who has the longest stomach flu diarrhea incident in...
That chicken must
maybe
have been
history.
That chicken must have been bad chicken.
Real bad. I mean, this is like week 3, right?
Yeah, of it.
And
yeah.
He came back for that one start, and he was like, I just... Or according to the team, they were like, he's just too weak after that. Like, he can't possibly pitch again after that 3-inning start or whatever. Like,
holy shit.
I don't know. So I guess we could say tentatively Snell is in the rotation, and then we have Paddock, who sucks 2/3 of the time, 3/4 of the time.
It's weird. Like, I feel like... I think that the Snell thing is actually it's a good thing because I feel like he really needed a reset.
Yeah, and this gives him an obvious chance to do that. Which
to do
is
that,
good.
Yeah, and so he hasn't pitched in however long, and I might be an idiot, but I am an idiot, but I feel that I just have confidence in him. I can't say that's this guy is what we're going to have for he's just not going to walk people like he's been doing. And I just have confidence he's going to be the guy. His stuff is too good. So I'm hoping that this little reset helps him dramatically. But I'm worried about Musgrove.
On the aggregate, though, like, I couldn't see it hurting him. You know, like,
no, I can't
only see upside in him taking a break,
he can't
doing
be
what he needed to get his mind in the right place or whatever is needed. Watch a video or I don't know, whatever his method is. I'm not going to be the one to tell Blake Snell how to prepare, but
guy's got a Cy Young.
I can't see it as being negative, you know? So
yeah.
Reese Kinnear, is he part of the rotation still or did they send him down? I think they sent him down. He didn't really impress that much.
It's going to depend
on
that, Darvish, right?
Beyond that, what else? Yeah, we need Darvish.
Yeah, it's going to depend on Darvish, and it's going to depend on when Ryan Weathers.
And we need Darvish
to be
effective because he was not effective against your beloved Nationals.
That's the other thing, right? Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know, there is some questions on the rotation right now, and you mentioned injuries on the whole. That's certainly been an issue for the Padres. I know that the Padres have the most injured days, I think, lost on their roster.
And it's like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look around the league and especially some of our competitors like the Dodgers, like there's a lot of key injuries around the league. And so I don't like using that as a singular excuse for things.
No.
But
it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned before we started Musgrove that he has been
good.
He has been good, but...
But, you know, he's not – you don't feel good him taking the number one start in a playoff series, right? Or for him to be the starter in a one-game playoff.
Right, yeah.
So – and that's kind of why I don't like the excuse of, well, we lost the Brewers because we had to go against their best pitchers. Because when it comes down time for the playoffs, we're going to be going against only the best pitchers.
Only the best pitchers.
And the team needs to be able to beat the DeGroms, the – whoever the Brewers guys are, the Corbin – whatever.
If they can't score a run on Marquez, if they can't score a run on Gray, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
We're going to be in big trouble. And honestly, the starting lineup as far as, you know, 1 through 8 is pretty much intact. I mean, except for Nola's not there, but Caratini's been playing most of those and he's been pretty
decent.
Solid.
Yeah, he's been fine.
Yeah. I mean, obviously having Nola there over Rivas and he's done a good job, but that's a far drop off, but still you still have, in this Rocky series, I mean, it was still Manny, Jake, Tatis, fam. Tatis didn't have a hit in the Rocky series, the whole series.
I mean, the main gaping hole is Eric Hosmer. I mean, he's he's the hole. There.
And they just keep keep running him out.
And I mean, there is some reason for expectation of improvement if they really are going to put Nola there, though, and take half of Hosmer's at bats. That's a huge upgrade to the position.
It is. I don't really understand it. Like if the thought process is, okay, we finally understand that Eric Hosmer is terrible, so we need to limit his playing time. Why wouldn't they have done that already? Why wouldn't you just have already put Cronenworth at first and Kim at second? Kim doesn't seem to be getting the at-bats or the playing time that he warrants at this point. I understand why at the beginning of the season, when he was really struggling at the plate, he was great defensively, but I don't understand at this point why he's not getting more starts at second and Jake isn't getting more starts at first. I don't understand that.
Didn't you read the Bryce Miller column about Eric Hosmer last week? The one that discussed how it's Tatis's... Eric Hosmer has saved at least, half a dozen errors from Tatis.
I thought it was a dozen.
Whatever he said was wrong. It wasn't researched or anything.
He said these metrics can be fuzzy, is what he said.
Yeah.
He drops the Fangraphs thing, so this guy is the worst in the league. he is absolute trash.
But these metrics can be fuzzy.
Did his PR team write that?
Right.
What a blow
job exactly
that
like
was.
The AC, exactly oh like the AC God. One in May.
Don't forget the balls. Don't forget the balls, Bryce.
But the thing in there was like, well... Some people say that they should maybe platoon or bench Hosmer, but think about what the effect would be on the team chemistry.
What?
Like
you, what chemistry?
We've both been in workplaces, right? Like, there's always someone that kind of skates by or underperforms.
Right.
Generally, in a workplace, when that person is both heavily compensated and skates by doing less or worse than everyone else, does anyone get mad when that person gets taken off the project?
Right?
Like,
exactly.
The goal
is the complete opposite.
Right. Like, for us, you know, the goal is to finish the TPS report. For them, it's to win a World Series. Oh. And when there's a clear obstacle to doing that, usually the workforce is generally happy. But even though you like to go to lunch with the guy, he's fun at happy hour, you all got a mission to do, right? And,
right.
And so it just seems so weird to me that somehow this is so different to the writers, to the Union Tribune writers.
I don't understand it. Yeah.
You know, that's what they want. Like, you think Tatis doesn't want to win a World Series more than anything right now? He's got his money. He's got the lifestyle. He wants a ring.
Yeah.
And there's a clear obstacle in the lineup every day to that ring. And you don't think the guys see it? These guys are... The guys aren't dumb about statistics anymore.
They all see
it. They know that Tatis just got paid off of his WAR.
Right.
Do you think he doesn't know the value of WAR?
Yeah. He didn't get it because he's got a billion RBIs.
Right. Fam. The one who is most obsessed with his Fangraph statistics and how that will lead to a larger contract. You don't think he recognizes the problems here? Like, I think the writers are just ridiculous about this.
Don't understand. I really don't understand. It felt like Bryce wrote that, sent it to Scott Boras, and was like, is this okay, Scott?
Yeah.
Is this all right? Okay, good. Okay, print.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sent it to Jay, and then Jay did nothing with it because he doesn't edit anything.
They don't send it to Jay. They
boom,
post it.
He just
they post
right
it
on.
Directly. They don't even
it right
send
from
it
their phone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was mind-blowing. Yeah, he's just absolutely terrible.
So let's look at the standings right now. So I've said on Twitter, I think a few times, that the freaking out after every loss, I think, is probably premature.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is a point where fans can lawfully freak out. And I think that's the point where they are no longer in the wild card position, which they currently are. They're in the second wild card position. They're 3.5 games above the Reds, who they swept. So to me, until they're not going to make the playoffs, I'm not really ready to freak out. Would it be better if they won the division? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at this point, the projections aren't... I mean, even now, the projections are showing the Giants... The projections that have been very down on the Giants all year are still showing the Giants to finish ahead of the Padres because they built up a 6-game lead, which is a difficult lead to in less than half of a season to make up.
Well, especially when you have another team ahead of you, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. You're in third six-back. Yeah. That's different.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
Right. That's why when you're 4 games down in the wild card, but there's, you know, like... four teams between you and the spot you're trying to get to. It's really hard to do that.
Yeah,
it's a lot harder than being in second place and trying to make up four games.
Yeah.
So, to me, until the team is third in the wild card position, which they were about a month ago, behind the Cubs, and I think the Brewers and Cubs were tied, I think. I don't think people should freak out. I mean, do you agree? Or do you have a higher level where of expectation where you think that the freak out level should be?
You're 100% right. But they should be higher than – they shouldn't be six games back. I am disappointed in that. I will say that. The next 14 games are everything. Because we should make a standing date on the 31st to sit back down again, because everything's going to happen in those 14 games, going through July 30th. You've got 14 games and 10 of them are on the road. Mm-hmm. We're about to go on the road for 10 games. That's a huge deal. You have the trade deadline. What's Preller going to do? What's he going to add? Everything is going to happen in these 14 games. I mean, they could come out of that the way that they're playing. If they stick with what they did against the Rockies, they could come home 10 back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, it's not that crazy to think about that. I don't want to be totally negative, but that's very possible.
And for all the talk of the easy schedule, it's a relatively easy stretch on paper.
On paper.
They're playing the Washington Nationals, who are good.
Right.
I don't know who they're facing in the rotation. But I guess they'll probably get another Scherzer turn. Atlanta, who lost Acuna, Miami, Oakland, who's good, very good.
But
they only have two games against them, and then Colorado at home.
And then, yeah, right.
So it's not a deadly period here.
No.
And I would think that anything at 500 or below would be a massive disappointment, given where the team is at right now.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of with you. I think that that's a key critical position for the team. I think it's pretty key.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stress because like I said, we don't know what Preller's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who's going to be around, who's not going to be around.
Let's talk about our main competitor, right? One of the main competitors, the Dodgers. And for all the talk that we've had of injuries and whatever, the Dodgers have had their share of injuries.
Off field stuff.
Yeah. Have you heard about this Trevor Bauer news? let me tell you about it. I'll read this passage, but a lady from San Diego alleged that the star pitcher choked her until she lost consciousness, repeatedly punched her in the face and her vagina, and gave her injuries that required hospitalization. I know the scriptures say, judge not lest ye be judged, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This Trevor Bauer character... this guy's a real jerk.
He seems like a bad guy. Yeah. He seems like a bad guy. You don't expect to see him back this year, do you?
No, they extended the suspension today to late July.
Yeah.
He seems done. I mean, imagine him in a game like the
if they brought him back.
They can't. I mean, the wheels of justice don't move that quickly. So it's not like they're going to have any kind of resolution on the case.
No.
But who else have they lost? Dustin May's out.
That was a huge loss.
Kershaw's out. Forearm strain. Sounds terrible. You know, the Padres injury translator 5,000. I mean, Tommy John's coming for that.
Yeah. And he's 46 now? 47?
Yeah, he's throwing like 67 miles an hour anyways. Like he's done.
He's done.
Who do they have left? Urias, another wife beater?
The other wife beater, and then... Gosselin, who
hasn't been as good.
No.
You know, they're a team in trouble also.
Yeah, they are.
So there is a chance to kind of maybe close some ground with them. I mean, Muncy's hitting well above what you would expect him to do. Like, there's a lot of players that are not performing to the level you would expect. Lux hasn't been good at all.
He's terrible.
Yeah, he can't hit.
No.
I don't know why anyone talks about him. He was like a top five prospect, and he can't hit, and no one talks about what a bust he is.
Which is so surprising, because it seems like every time they bring somebody up, even if it's a guy that nobody's talked about, not like a heralded prospect or anything, it just seems like whoever it is, it just all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy's great.
Right.
I mean, Taylor just played in the All-Star game. Like, what? In what world?
Coach Quintero was praising whoever, Zach McKinstry, on the radio this week.
Exactly. Like, it's like, who are these guys? Yeah, but Lux is just a
Sucks. Like every, but I, nobody talks about it. Everyone, when Joe Adell came up for the Angels and did awful, everyone talked about it.
Yeah.
When Buxton came up and couldn't hit at first, everyone talked about it.
Right.
No one talks about Lux hitting like 220 and no power and
stinks.
Just sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. What? We're what? We're six back and they're
two, I think.
Two and a half or something like that.
Yeah. So I mean, there's room for opportunity here.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely.
There's. I will say I'm losing faith in the belief that the Giants will just fall apart.
I am too.
They have two Cy Young contenders in their leaders, really, like in their rotation. So no matter what, you think about, I know everyone's like, I sure would like to meet the Giants in a playoff series, like if we get through the one game series, but like
really?
That's two games against like like Cy Young winning contenders, like
we can't hit John Gray,
right? We're throwing Musgrove and Paddock out there against two Cy Young winners. Like it's, I don't know. Like I know they're not big names, but
speaking of the Giants, I don't know. Did you see that article from Eno Saris where he was talking to some of the All Stars about like things that they've changed or whatever recently? Yeah. So and he brought up Brandon Crawford. And because Crawford is obviously having a real resurgence this year, and he's having a great year. But he was talking about how his career was really on the down slope. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was not.
We thought he was cooked.
We thought he was done. Yeah. And he talked about how he went and he was not happy with the fact that he kept grounding out to the right side over and over, and that he knew that he had to make a change to get better.
Interesting. Hmm. I'm pulling up an article, actually, from our beloved Union Tribune on this subject, actually, where...
But and I hate to dive back into how bad Hosmer sucks, but like when I read that, I was just like, wow. I mean, Brandon Crawford has, what, three rings? Does he have three? Was he there for all three?
Is he on all three? Is he as old as Lincecum?
He's pretty old. Like, he's got two. He's got at least two, right?
Look, he's got more than Hosmer, probably. Is my guess.
He
right?
must. Yeah. Yeah. I saw him play in Richmond for the Flying Squirrels. I saw all those guys play in Richmond. I saw Brandon Belt, like all those dudes.
Eric Hosmer has reached the point where he is thinking about what he can give back to the game, how he might be able to help foster a shift in emphasis away from the metrics and toward the things he believes makes a winning team.
Oh my God.
I'm comfortable in my game, he said. I know what I bring to the team. If anything, it gives me motivation to eventually join an ownership group one day or manage one day to try to get baseball back to where it was when I was first coming up or where I feel the game should be. I think there are certain key components to winning that maybe the outside world doesn't value that much. And by that, he's talking about hitting the ball in the air and with power and fielding well, I think, is the things he's discussing.
How lost is he? He's just completely lost.
A shift in emphasis away from the metrics. It's like,
what an asshole.
Eric Hosmer is just the worst. And I wish Marver could be here again like he was in our 100th episode where we heartily dunked on him for his love for Eric Hosmer. His purchase of an Eric Hosmer jersey so he could cosplay as Eric Hosmer.
Man.
Just embarrassing, if you ask me.
Anyway, but so we obviously got off on, but the Giants, they're at this point.
I just don't think they're going to fall apart. And when you bank a 6-game lead already, it's you can't take those away. Like
they're old. For all the talk, yeah, that's the only thing that I can. That's the only thing that I would really think that could really hurt.
Might
them.
Wear them down.
Yeah, is that their age and like there could be injuries coming or something like that, but. Yeah, I mean, Evan Longoria, like, he was so done. He was just stick a fork in him.
Yeah. And Belt.
Belt? Posey's hurt now.
Yeah.
But
the thing, though, is there was all this talk in April. Like, the Padres would blow some games in April, and you'd hear on the radio, like, it's okay. They're built for October. These games in April don't matter. They're still getting their feet under them. And we all heartily, like, agreed, you know, because we believe in the team. But you kind of see that with the Giants, how they banked a 6-game lead on our Padres, like those games do matter. Like they count just as much as a game on September 20th towards what we're trying to do. So,
all of them.
You know, obviously on this podcast, we're not here to bash our beloved Jace Tingler and his excellent managing and decision-making, especially when compared to Andy Green. But some of those games that we were a little a little laissez-faire over losing, you know, they may come back to bite us. Like, it's entirely possible.
They could. They definitely could. I think Tingler's done a really good job.
Yeah.
Overall, they've had a lot thrown at them. Losing, God, man, I did. There's somebody posted the our all IL team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the starting five and the bullpen is incredible.
I didn't even remember Keon Kella was on our team.
Right, like how many games did we get out of him? Like,
remember how excited 15? People were when we 16? Traded for him?
16. Well, because they got him for like nothing. So like, and he was good. You know, when he was here, but
he was already hurt. Nobody talked about how he was already hurt.
15
though,
games, something like that. I think is what all he got.
Wasn't that
maybe?
Good? Wasn't that good either?
Okay. I mean, it was an arm. It was another arm, and we've gone through. We've been joking about Chris Matt or whatever. Chris Matt's been really good.
He's been fine. He's fine.
He's been pretty damn good.
You know, and my Bartolo Colon bit used to just be a bit, but it's getting
We're
pretty
getting close
to being an actual feasible. He like leads the Mexican League in wins right now. Like, he's not nothing.
Right, exactly.
He can definitely give us 5 innings a start.
Well, I keep seeing Fernando Rodney's name on the timeline.
Yeah.
And guy's lighting it up in Mexico.
Yeah, it's on the Tijuana Toros.
I know, right, exactly. He might not be far off the way that we keep dropping people left and right.
So I guess that brings up the next obvious thing of discussing the trade deadline, which is neither of our favorite topic. I despise it on Twitter. It's the worst time of the year.
Who says no?
Well, I plugged it into the MLB trade value generator, and it looks like this trade would get approved with a screenshot of some dumb, stupid trade. Hold on. Let me get all of the trade candidates out so I can read them and tell you that they would be good candidates for the Padres, and then when they trade for them, I'll let out a hearty, as I speculated.
We have no idea who he's going to get. We have no clue.
Yeah, I do think people get hung up just on like a higher level. People get hung up on like, what specific weakness is it that we have and how must we address that? And that's the only thing they're laser focused on. And I think that what AJ has shown in the past is that he's looking for improvement over what we have, regardless of the level of need. I mean, he has stacked up players at positions before just because he added talent, and what he had, even if they were to split time, was still an improvement over what we had before. And so I think that you're like, well, what do they really need in the outfield? Like, there's no glaring holes now that Will's hitting well and Pham's hitting well, but there's certainly players out there that might be better than Will, and if you give at-bats to them, that's still a net improvement towards the team being better. So I think that a lot of times I see people laser focused on starting pitcher and on first base, right? The Gallo and whatever pitcher they're going to go after. And I do think AJ probably looks beyond just those glaring needs and is looking at where can we be better, you know, whether that's splitting time or whether that, you know, whatever. I don't doubt his ability to be creative in whatever he's going after, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
But we need a starting pitcher, I think.
At least one.
So let's talk philosophically, because I saw this today.
We have to have arms.
Yeah, and I guess the big question is, how deep do you go in on – how big do we go, right, for someone? Last year we had just an overabundance of, like, AAA-level, major league-ready, what I thought wasn't super great talent, but – AAA major league ready talent. And that's something that they don't have now. They have a ton of like Dominican League, low A, future value 40 type players that show up on the prospect rankings when they do the prospect system rankings, but they're not who we're getting excited about anymore.
Right. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, prospects are for dorks. Like, we're done with prospects, right? I used to like check the minor league scores every night and stuff. Like, check the box scores.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't do that at all anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know who our high A team is at this point. Like, I know who they are, but you know,
right. I know what you mean.
The system's like not as good. I mean, Fangraphs did a mid-year review, and I think we came in 13th. You know, a very average, mediocre system at this point. Not to say that AJ can't replenish it or whatever, but at this point in time, it's a middle-of-the-road system. And I've seen, well, Do we go all in for this year, or do we save some and go for maybe small upgrades to keep our 5-year window alive? Like, where do you fall on that? I know where I fall. I fall very clearly on one side, but
I don't know. It's funny because I don't feel like AJ has really been a guy that goes for the rentals. It always seems like the guys that he goes for have more, a little bit more control. Maybe not
but,
like a ton of control.
But we were never in position to win a World Series.
That's true.
Until
that's
this
true.
Year.
Because last year, the only real rental was Moreland.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and that was a small, you know, small in the scale of things.
Yeah, I don't even remember what we gave up for Moreland. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't right. care. There's not a single
I have
player.
No idea.
There's not a single player we traded that I miss.
I miss Patino. I do,
do
miss.
Do you really miss him though?
Yeah, I do. Because I think he could be. I think he could be really good. I do miss him. You know who I miss actually is Davies. And I don't miss him, like, long-term, and, oh, my God, I miss Zach Davies so much. But right now, like, that would be a nice
arm
to have.
Yeah, he'd be absorbing. And maybe they get him back.
And maybe they do.
He is a rental.
I would love to have him back because that means we know he can eat some innings. We know that.
So I don't like us restrict. I see that, too. Like, we can only get guys that have years of control. We're in a position. We're in the position where you go for a rental. Like, we're in the position to win a World Series this year. We're heavily invested in this year. Like, I saw they're only $6 million below the luxury tax threshold.
Go for it, go for it, go. I'm almost go for it.
I know we all believe in Papa Pete, but I don't see us being at that level for a sustained period of time. Like, I see that as a good surge to win a World Series, which I think they're trying to do this year.
And obviously the way next year is...
It's actually an interesting point, though, because if they add a ton of salary, it actually pushes them over the luxury tax threshold.
And that's a lot,
Which is amazing that we're talking about that.
Right. But like next year, you get Clevinger back, you get, you know... you got to go for it.
Fiercely on the go for it.
Just go for it. Why not?
Are any of us going to miss Camposano? I mean... Look,
he's hitting a lot better now, I'll say that, but, you know. Yeah.
Better doesn't mean good.
No, I know, but I also feel bad for him because he really got...
He shouldn't have been up here at
the COVID
beginning of the
season. The COVID thing was a mess, and they didn't get to play, and that was... the development just really got screwed up. Like, I feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for Gore, but I feel bad for Campy.
You know? I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that excuse either, though. The thing... I hear that, too, where it's like, it sucks, but it's not like all prospects across the board suck now. Like, there are some that are greatly excelling. So,
but
who am I to say that?
Tough as a catcher, though, don't you think? As opposed to like a left fielder or something.
I don't know.
Like that.
I don't know. I'd have to look at what the other catching prospects are doing. But
yeah, that's true.
It's hard for me to say that. Like, I mean, it didn't bother Jack Sawinski. See, I'm pulling my prospect knowledge here for thanks to the Mad Friars Daily
Thank
Report,
you, Mad Friars,
which I read
Mark,
on which I read
Kevin.
On I read it on Gaslamp Ball. Actually, it is
what. You read it on Gaslamp Ball?
Yeah, they had a great Daily Farm Report.
They stole from
it. This is great. Really good detail. I liked it.
Just change a couple words here and there.
They didn't even change words. They were the worst.
Oh, man.
What were we even talking about?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, we got to go for it.
Oh, yeah, go for it. You know, that was the other thing. Like, people think Robert Hassel is untouchable. I looked at his stats, and they're good. Like, he just got over 300, but he's hitting in, like, the best hitters league on earth, in the California League, and he's fine. He's young, right?
Are you saying you could hit 250 down there is what you're saying? Probably.
I think it's a little silly to say someone is untouchable when they're hitting 299 at Lake Elsinore.
Well,
with four home runs.
We need to talk about who's saying that he's untouchable. Do you think A.J. Preller thinks he's untouchable?
No, nobody is untouchable.
Yeah, yeah right.
I don't think C.J. Abrams is untouchable.
Preller will do anything.
Really,
I can't,
no one is untouchable.
No.
It's all about, you're not giving the guys away. You're getting something in return.
Yeah.
So if you get something in return that's as good as what you're giving away or better, then what's the problem?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, his job is to bring a ring here.
Anyone that thinks there's someone untouchable that A.J. shouldn't trade, I would consider an A.J. hater. Someone that doesn't believe in AJ's skills at evaluating value coming back. And look, I know that this podcast would never stand for that kind of AJ hating.
Absolutely.
Like you people
not.
That are saying Robert Hassel is untouchable, that don't trust our beloved AJ to come up with a equal or better trade for
him. I think
him.
That makes him want to trade him more.
Yeah, good.
I think he's
I hope
he's
AJ
such
shows,
a psychopath.
I hope AJ shows the haters.
It's like, oh, he's untouchable, is he? Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Just work on that phone.
Thanks for your expert analysis, Mickey 146428 on Twitter.
Yeah, he's gonna do whatever the hell he wants, and at this point, I mean, we have to trust him.
Yeah,
we have to. He's got a great track record. He really does. I mean, there are a couple stinkers along the way, but for the most part,
look
where we're at.
Marvin and I have talked plenty about the stinkers, and there are stinkers, and I don't think
there's gonna be.
It doesn't absolve any one of those stinkers. AJ had stinkers, bad trades, bad evaluations, but what you look at is the aggregate of everything, because the best investor doesn't hit on 100% of their investments. You look at the aggregate and what you make on the whole.
Do you know who one of the ones that he gets beat up for the most is Hosmer.
Yes.
And
deservedly.
But I really don't believe that was him. I just don't. I really think that was ownership pressuring him that he needed to do that.
Do you mean very specifically Uncle Ron Fowler? Your beloved Uncle Ron Fowler may have been responsible for that.
Probably. I mean, like, if I had to bet, isn't that who you would think it was?
Yeah, and, you know, there hasn't been this much attention on this subject, but,
like,
we talked about Partello in the beginning. Partello was Fowler's, like, right-hand man.
Yeah.
Anyone that ever saw them at a game saw Partello following Fowler around with a clipboard behind him, like Dwight with Michael. Like, it's exactly the same. And aren't things a lot better now that Uncle... It's not just Partello's gone. Like, Partello wouldn't be gone if Fowler wasn't gone. Like, isn't there, like, a different tone in this team with the change in upper leadership? And
well, it's been... There's been a better... I know that there's been a change media-wise, and we've talked about that.
Aren't there better just... It seems like there's better processes, and there's no... Everything's running smoothly for once.
It seems to be. It seems to be.
And so not just on, like, the, you know, stadium side, like on the baseball side, like everything seems to be running better. It's just everything's better now. It's better. It just took – it's addition by subtraction, right? Can you finally admit it?
So anyway, so what else were we going to get to today? What else were we going to talk about?
Well, you were somehow turning the Eric Hosmer signing into some kind of positive.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't making it a positive. I was just saying, like, I think that AJ gets beat up about that a lot, and I don't think that was him. I'm going to take that to my grave, until I know, and we're never going to know.
Yeah,
but
no, we will know. Actually, I mean, at some point,
did he really want a first baseman for $144 million?
Yeah,
that's on the wrong side of, you know, age wise.
After he just signed a high flying analyst who is notorious for bashing Eric Hosmer.
It doesn't make any sense.
You know when we're going to find out, and this is a classic San Diego. Mm-hmm. Is at some point Hosmer is going to get cut.
Yes.
At some point in his remaining, 4 years of contract
$60 million after the season.
He's going to get cut at some point.
$60 million.
He's not going to be here for 4 years.
No.
So the day, 2 days after he's cut, there will be some article in the Union Tribune, in typical San Diego fashion, that bashes, that finally people feel like they can say everything about how the process failed and Uncle Ron forced the issue.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Anonymous sources within the front office tell us that
AJ never really wanted him.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just Josh Stein, like, which calling totally up believe. Kevin Acey to give the anonymous yeah. source to, but that's going to happen, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if Preller can somehow get rid of him, so there's $60 million left on his deal after this year, because he has those 3 years that are a player option. It's 3 years at $13 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get that from anyone else or more than that. So he's absolutely going to take that. So $60 million. If AJ can get rid of him and eat all of it and just get back even $5 million.
Well, we talked about the luxury tax threshold. Like, there is actually a baseball reason to – this isn't just about saving some nickels. Like, now is actually a baseball reason to dump some salary, to clear useless salary so that we can reallocate it towards good salary.
Yes.
Because we're pretty close to the luxury tax threshold at
Who's
going to
take
which,
him, though?
Who, you pay someone to take him away,
yeah,
right?
That's you're going to have to eat a lot of it. Yeah, I mean,
well,
so
you know, I was a little surprised. Like, so the Union Tribune obviously caters to the lowest common denominator of Padres fans, the Facebook Padres fan.
Yes.
I saw another fossil there, Tom Krasovic, put out a poll this week, which was basically, would you give away a top prospect to dump Eric Hosmer's salary in a trade?
Yes.
And you would think that that low education level of Padres fan might be, they're the ones who are like, well, he's so clutch and his leadership is good. And
RBI,
he's,
Mr.
He's
RBI.
Critical. Yeah, he's, did you see his April? Like ignoring May, June, July. Last year, the year before, half of his time in Kansas City.
He has 4 gold gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, his how we're too tough on him. The metrics are fuzzy about him. You would think that that crowd would be more pro-Hosmer, and it was still like 82-18 in favor of dumping a top prospect to get rid of Eric Hosmer, which is a little eye-opening to
That's
me.
That's incredible.
I mean,
it's really starting to turn on him.
Well, because he sucks.
Like, I know, but he has sucked.
The only amazing thing is that it's taken Padres fans 3 years to realize that after 3 years of terrible performances.
Right. Yeah.
Even last year was
mediocre. Year, when he started putting it up in the air more.
It's a mediocre first base performance still.
It was, but it was like, oh, wow, at least he's trying. And now it's just like, I'm not fucking trying.
I heard some national writer on Ben and Woods on Friday or Thursday, I think. Is Brian something? I forget what his last name was, but he came on and he was being very, or no, it must have been like on Wednesday, sometime this week.
Brian Kinney?
Maybe.
The MLB Network guy?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right, okay.
He came on and he was, you know, his introductory about talking to the Padres, which he was very positive on. He made the point of, you know, you look at their lineup and you look at their position players and you don't see a single hole in there.
Oh, that was Brian Kinney.
It makes me think.
I was like, what?
I was coming back from driving my daughter somewhere, and I double took in the car and was like, well, and that's really my litmus test in general for can this person be trusted or should I change the station to a podcast?
Yeah.
And so I immediately turned it off, obviously, which I'm sorry, Woods. But
yeah. Oh, you're not sorry to Ben or Paul.
But I don't think Ben cares, actually, but Woods
Ben
cares.
Doesn't give a shit.
Woods is very competitive.
Oh, he's very competitive.
So I immediately turned it off because that kind of, I mean, is there any better litmus test on does this person, this national commentator, do they know anything about the Padres, or did they just look at the standings and kind of, you know, guess at what to talk about without researching?
The national guys, it's too much to cover. It just is. Like, you're not going to know. You can't know. You just can't.
Yeah, they see the name
but
Eric
Hosmer. But
the local
people here should know. You should be watching every game, and you should know.
But instead we get Bryce Miller. We get Kevin Acey.
Oh, my God.
Ello.
But at least we have Dennis Lynn.
Yeah, thank God.
Thank God for Dennis Lynn.
But even Dennis Lynn hasn't written a scathing, Hosmer sucks, they must dump Hosmer, like, which is an obvious article to write at this point. If it was in New York City.
It's kind of easy, though.
Boston.
Right.
Do you think they wouldn't have written, some columnist wouldn't have written.
He'd be getting beat up. Yeah. But there's a thousand of them, though. Yeah, Dennis, I don't know. Dennis just kind of, he kind of takes his shots.
They don't have to look it up.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
I wonder if, like, the Orange County Register at some point wrote, the Angels can't possibly keep running Pujols out there article. You know, it's the same thing. A guy with a quote-unquote good history. I mean, Pujols' case, great history, but in Hosmer's case, okay history.
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar case, and I'm curious about how the different medias handle it, because Orange County is a pretty similar media market to us.
They're very similar.
Yeah.
Except for Pujols
town,
was making,
you know,
even more money. I mean, God, he was 30 a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more the principle, though, of running out past his prime player who's clearly hurting the team.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you
Maybe they never wrote it. I don't know. That's entirely possible.
I'd take Pujols right now at first over if I could just dump Hosmer's contract.
Well, Coach Quintero was...
I'd take literally anything over him.
Glowing about how good Pujols had been for the hated Dodgers, or for him, his beloved Dodgers.
His beloved Dodgers is right. Yeah.
So circling back, I guess we can close out the episode, but we started out kind of pointing out maybe some of the shortcomings of the team and how it was raising some doubts, but the point that we say that we're all in on trading whatever to win a World Series this year, I think is more telling in that we believe this team can win the World Series this year. You know, despite our doubts and issues with how things have gone in the first half, I think you and I both probably agree that with a few additions, this team should and can win the World Series this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If Darvish comes back completely healthy, if Snell can turn it around and just be just even 75% of the guy that he was, they definitely can. And if Musgrove can just be good, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be pitching. The bullpen has been amazing. Mm-hmm. It's incredible what they've done with the injuries and with the gut shuttling up and down and the amount of innings that they've had to eat. It's to be the best bullpen in baseball with all those innings is crazy.
Yeah.
Tim Hill is that dude is a god.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And that was it's such a weird trade. That's one of those trades that's going to come up that we have no idea. Nobody's talked about, and all of a sudden some dude's going to come here, and it's going to be like a Tim Hill guy. It's going to be like, why this guy?
Yeah.
And then in a year and a half, it's going to be like, in a couple months, it's going to be like, oh, my God, that was a great deal.
There are two interesting bullpen points, actually, that I just thought about. But Austin Adams is another guy that's been very good, right?
Oh.
Tim Hill has been good. But there are some very specific instances in which Jace shouldn't be using them. And you watch the broadcasts, and there's a lot of talk about what their ERAs are very low, right?
Yeah.
Austin Adams has a really low ERA.
Yeah.
But what never gets talked about is that Tim Hill is like top five in the league in inherited runners scoring against him, and Austin Adams is in the top 20 for that. So there is a specific situation where like neither of those pitchers should ever be brought into the game when there's runners on base.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like in extra innings when the runner starts at second, Hill and Austin Adams should never, ever come in the game. We should have already burned through them by that point.
Well, Austin has to hit somebody when he comes in. That's
yeah. That's all he does. He strikes out people or he hits them. He's very intimidating.
His ERA is super low. It would be way lower. His first four appearances, I think it was, his first four or five appearances, he gave up five earned runs.
Yeah.
And since then, one earned run the whole way since then. So you take those out. It's like, well, he's having an amazing
season. Neither of them are being charged for any runs.
No, right. Yeah, exactly. That they get stuck with. But yeah. But those guys have been.
But aside from that, any of the other pitchers, even Chrisman, has been good to great, I would say.
Yeah, Chrisman, that game, was it the Nationals game or whatever, when he came in and pitched all those innings? Mm-hmm. He did just a terrific job.
Yeah.
I mean,
Soaks innings.
He does. He soaks innings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have him in there than like Erlen or something like that.
Erlen. Forgot Erlen existed. Yeah. He's out of baseball now, right?
Is he?
Must, I don't know.
No,
he must be, right?
I think he's pitching somewhere.
Is he?
I believe he
what
is.
What about Joe Wieland? You think he's pitching still?
People talk about expanding MLB baseball, and I just don't get it. Like, there isn't enough talent around as it is. Like, how are you going to add more teams? Like, some of the trash that's still out there playing. He's pitching, right? Who's he with?
He's not on a team this year.
Oh, he's not?
Not in the major leagues.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Oh, no, he's pitching for the Nippon Ham Fighters.
Oh, he went to... Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting. Huh.
So he's done.
Yeah, who knows? He could come back. Maybe he'll develop a knuckleball or something.
Knuckleball, yeah. you know, he's not. He sucks. He always sucked. He's one of our top prospects. Him and Wieland were supposed to be our rotation of the future.
So what do you think that they need to do to get to the World Series?
Some alternative to Eric Hosmer hitting every day. I think it's pretty, not just hitting, fielding as well. But I think that some kind of split or elimination of Eric Hosmer's playing time is pretty key. Some of this depends on if you really believe Will can sustain for an entire half. We've seen like months from Will where he's excellent, and they usually don't last longer than a month or a month and a half or so. So I'd like to see Will. If Will can do it, then great. I want Will there, but we should know, I guess, in the next 2 weeks how he's doing. But that may be a potential area of upgrade. And then obviously, if Darvish is hurt, or even if he's not hurt, like, we could use some more starting pitching here.
Yeah.
There's not a lot in the minor leagues ready to go. Like, I know AJ said they were looking for internal innings. we're talking about like Aaron Leisher and like Reese Kinnear, and like it's not great. Doesn't look great. And Paddock's bad, I would say, right?
Yeah, he regressed.
Okay,
right?
To bad, somewhere in that range.
Like it seemed like at the beginning of the year, we were like looking at a different guy, and we were like giving him credit, and it felt like he was okay. And then now it's just kind of. Oof.
He's what we all thought. He's a head case. Like head cases are hard to manage. It's not always in the arm. Like he's looks like it's a head case.
It's in the brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think we really. I don't think we need. As much as we wanted, like, Hader, Kimbrel, or whatever, like, I think the bullpen, we could be fine. I think it's a playoff-caliber bullpen.
Kimbrel won't come back here, though, right?
He wasn't that good here anyways.
Yeah, but he has no interest in being in San Diego.
Yeah,
that
I don't
was
think
the whole
so.
Thing
yeah.
with him. Yeah.
It just, if we have limited amount to trade, and to me, bullpen, I suppose there's upgrades there, and I already said earlier in the podcast, like, AJ is going to look for upgrades wherever they're available, so... for whatever price he can get a good price on. So we could use, I guess, a bullpen arm, but it's not really, if I were to rank things at the top of my need list. Starting pitcher, right?
I think he's going to get some, I think he'll get some bullpen help too.
He's been so good at finding cheap bullpen.
Yeah.
There's all the focus on Hader and Kimbrel.
Yeah, it's not going to be one, I don't think it'll be one of those
It's
going to
be a Tim Hill kind of guy.
Yeah,
that,
right.
The metrics and his scouting shows is a low cost, like even like a throw in to one of like the other trades.
Yeah.
But to me, like obviously we've all talked about Joey Gallo, but like the Joey Gallo, Kyle Gibson combo seems to make the most sense to me. But
yeah,
if it costs Camposano, I'm fine with that. If it costs Hassel, I'm fine with that. Either one is fine.
You just got to do what you got to
do. I want to win a World Series this year. Once we win a World Series, then we can start talking about the window, keeping the window open. The window's not truly open until we win a World Series, in my opinion. So,
if I live through the parade, I'll be happy. I don't give a shit what happens.
I mean,
that.
I will make it to the parade. I don't know if I will live through the parade. I think that's going to be a pretty sloppy day.
just give me the one, man. We can figure it out after that.
Right,
I don't care.
Getting zero is the problem here. I just don't want to get
that's,
zero.
That's the thing. And it's very possible. It's so easy to... hard to win one.
For
it's
all the
really
bluster from us as fans, doesn't Fangraph show us as like a 7% chance of winning the World Series? Like we're winning the World Series one out of every 13 times or so.
Look at the Dodgers. For a decade, they just spend and spend and spend and have this tremendous farm system where they bring people up.
Yeah.
And they got one and it was a
and
Mickey
it wasn't
Mouse
real.
60
It's
game,
not.
It's not real.
Let's be clear here. It is not real.
Let's be clear. Oh, yeah. Before we leave, because we can't end this without talking about the All-Star game and the fact that he's 0-3 in All-Star games. Dave Roberts.
He just can't manage in the big games.
He can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's terrible.
You know, that's a good point. We chose not to talk about the All-Star game because it's an entirely meaningless exhibition, and we put entirely too much stock in. Whether ESPN and Stephen A. Smith talk about the Padres or not,
don't care.
Just be clear about that.
I didn't watch the home run derby. I watched part of the All-Star game just to kind of see our guys. Nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
Nobody made a terrible blunder.
I wasn't mad that day that Manny was being snubbed. It's fine. Let Manny enjoy his break.
Right. Yeah.
Let all the players enjoy their break.
Them,
I don't care.
Let them rest.
If they want to play in there, then great. They played. But
right. Yeah.
To me, it means nothing, and I didn't watch the All-Star game, and I never almost never watched the All-Star. I didn't watch the All-Star game even when it was in San Diego.
Yeah, so. And I was glad that they were a lot of people on Twitter were mad that like Melanson was getting pulled after.
Tatis only got two at bats.
Yeah, after like, throwing to two hitters, I was like, it's great.
Yeah.
Like I was hoping he wouldn't get into the game. Like, who needs more rest than
old.
That guy?
I don't want him throwing.
Save his bullets. Yeah. I don't want them being thrown up for that. the best part of the All-Star game, Padres-wise, was the fact that Cronenworth played first.
Yeah.
that was the best. And he made an amazing play, by the way. And that was the best part of the All-Star game for me.
It is great because in the future for ammunition for us, it's right. Now that why are the Padres benching an all-star first baseman
right.
to play this scrub there?
Exactly. Yeah. But for the rest of it, I just don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. Right. I just wanted those guys to get rest
and
because that's what they need. Especially about as you're getting ready to embark on a very important long road trip.
Yeah. You know, honestly, the only thing that was appalling to me was that the Padres put them up on a charter Sun Country charter plane to the All-Star game. I thought that was a little...
Oh, is that what they were on?
I think that's what...
Doesn't Peter have a plane?
You would have thought they'd put them in a private plane. It looked like they had a private plane on the way home. I saw a photo of Tatis, at least. I don't think the team was
on it. Yeah, I didn't see anybody else on that, though.
But they were on a commercial charter, I think.
Oh.
Sun Country, but it looked like maybe Southwest, too. Wasn't. Just would have liked something more luxurious for our beloved Padres.
Yeah, I'm sure the choice between going and staying in paradise in the Dominican as opposed to going to Denver was...
Denver. Woof.
Yeah, like, yeah.
All right, Corey. Well, I think, we're right on an hour. This is almost like we had a professional engineer here.
Oh, my God. We're amazing.
Yeah. look, the Padres are, they're fine. I think everyone should cool their jets. At the point that the Reds move ahead of us in the standings, we'll certainly convene again and be fiery and angry. But I think that we're kind of on the same page that let's just settle down a little bit.
Right? Yeah, I'll get off the negative train as soon as, you know. They'll win like the first two games of this road trip, and I'll be back to you know, and yeah. But yeah, but right now, just like they just stumbled into the break, and that, it bothered me.
I had originally planned on spending 20 to 30 minutes on our history as Nationals fans and how much we enjoy the Washington Nationals, but how I've been to more Nationals games in my life than I have Padres games, even though I've lived here for 3 times longer. But
it's a nice ballpark. It's kind of sterile, and there's not like a ton around it. I haven't been there in a few years now, but
it's dead still. The beer's better. They added a Shake Shack and there's a barbecue place there. It's fine.
Yeah.
There's better craft beer. Senator's Sausages is still there.
That's true.
I always get a chuckle when I walk in the concourse there. The neighborhood's a lot better.
Yeah. Boy, the timing of building that was bad.
Yeah. It's awful.
Oh, just so... Ugh.
But yeah, I don't know if we can spend 20 to 30 minutes talking about Roger Bernardino as much as I would like to. Tony Plush, Niger Morgan, another favorite.
Maybe we can get Zimmerman to come and play first base for us. Wouldn't that be great?
He'd be better.
Better, yeah.
He's got a ring.
Yeah. Why didn't he retire after they won?
Like, he's Mr. National.
That just blows me away that he didn't go. Like, it was the perfect timing.
Wasn't he good last year? I don't think he's...
Was he?
I don't think he's totally terrible.
No, he's not totally terrible. I just seem like that because he's like a million. I just figured he'd have been done.
Yeah, what's he care?
Like, yeah, I'll tell you what. It was when seeing Strasburg in the dugout. I was just like, wow, man, we dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah, we did. Oh yeah, we did.
I wanted no part of that contract.
Holy. I didn't either. There was all like the. There was a contingent that was like, we must sign, bring him home. That was a bomb waiting to happen.
Exactly. Like, and the show begging him to pitch in on their stadium.
Yeah, hard pass. All right, Corey. This has been a good episode.
Thank you, HJ.
It's been nice without so Marver. I did notice that, you know, in the previous episode, I had a clip of our beloved John Gennaro discussing Quintelligence, and he shamefully didn't bring you up
I just come on here and curse and yell about stuff. And you bring the real info.
Well, hey, just so you remember, we're in a podcast war with Hot Tub Podcast. Not go on their podcast all the time, you know.
Well, it seems like I only go on with Craig. Craig's the only one who likes me.
Didn't you do one with John like last week?
No,
that was Craig.
Okay. Craig. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, you're forgiven.
My beloved Craig.
Yeah, Craig.
He's a good kid.
All right. Well, for another edition of the Quintelligence podcast, go Padres.
Go Padres.